Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. And I pray that this day has been a day of rejoicing, a day of love, a day of faithfulness to our God, our Father, Jesus, the one who created all, the one who knows all, the one who is everywhere at one time, at once. We just glorify him today. And I just pray that you've had an opportunity to rejoice in him, to call him who he is in adoration and praise. So we are going to, as usual, sit at the table, the banquet table of love. And that is looking at our Bible today and focusing on a lesson today that shines the light on our faith. And the title to this lesson is When Faith is Troubled. When faith is troubled. And the Lord placed this on my heart, and he inspired me to do a lesson concerning when faith is troubled. And of course, I'm going through my own testing of my faith, and I thank God that he tests our faith from time to time. But the title to this teaching series, When Faith is Troubled, is the same way of saying when faith is tested. But it sounded a little more intriguing when I was inspired to say or title the lesson, When Faith is Troubled. So I just have to tell a little story concerning myself. And with this lesson, we are going to walk it out, work it out, and seek it out. So when we walk, work, and seek out, when our faith is being troubled, it strengthens us. And I heard it this way before I express my personal story, but I heard a teacher of the Bible put it this way: faith cannot grow without risk. Think about that. Faith cannot grow without risk. And that goes right along with this teaching lesson, When Faith is Troubled. So we're going to look at faith through the book of Matthew and the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14. So if you would, prepare your Bible, prepare your heart and your mind, and we're going to reach down into these passages of Scripture in Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. Now, we will be looking at the same story or passage in the different Gospels, but our main focus will be in Matthew 14, 22, 33. Now, mark your Bible there, but what I want us to do is flip over to the book of Hebrew. The book of Hebrew, chapter 11, Hebrews 11. And I want us to understand what faith is. According to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And I'm going to read this, of course, in the familiar translation of the King James Version. But you follow along with me in your translation. Now, I've always indicated I love to have different translations, and I encourage you to invest in Bible study resources to help deepen your understanding of what the Holy Spirit is trying to reveal to you. But before we read Hebrews 11:1, I would like to share when my faith is troubled. So I had to trust the Lord in a circumstance or a situation. I wasn't sure what the outcome was going to be. And you know what I'm talking about. When we're overly anxious for something and we want to know right now, and our loving God says, not right now, and we want instant answers to some questions that we may have rolled over in our minds, or we may have written down or pondered or even questioned ourselves as to what the outcome is going to be in a circumstance. I did all of that concerning this particular circumstance or situation. And it brought me to tears from time to time. Yes, it did roll over my emotions. And when I had no answers, when my hands were tied, when I did all that I could do in my own human effort or thoughts, I had to turn it over to Jesus. I had to let go and let God. And I tell you, the circumstance was so big, and it packed a powerful punch in my gut, in my emotions, in my mind. And I wasn't sure how or what would happen. But I love to trust God and say, but God knows the answers and the outcome of every one of our circumstances if we learn to trust him. But we've got to let him have his will and his way in our life, in our circumstance. So I made a decision in the midst of my tears to let it go. Now, as we know, brothers and sisters, it is hard to let things go. We may let it go physically in the touch, meaning our hands are tied. We cannot do anything in our humanly effort physically, so we let go of that. There's nothing else we can do. We can't run over there and take care of this, or run over here and take care of that, because of certain obstacles that are in the way. And that's what happened with me. We've got to learn to let go with our thinking and how the mind will continue to take it off the altar and take it out of God's hands and place it back into your hands, and we start mulling over this circumstance or a resolution to the circumstance in our thoughts, in our mind. And then our mind will start telling us or playing tricks with us, if you will, on what we can continue to do. But God has allowed obstacles to hinder us from doing, or me from doing. So the only thing that I could do, which was the best thing to do, was to let go and let God have his will and have his way in this circumstance, in this situation. And when I chose to do that, I had a peace that came over my body, a peace that came over my emotions, a peace in my mind that I was totally surrendering it to him, totally giving it all to him in thought, word, and deed. And what a peace that took charge of my emotions by way of the Holy Spirit. He comforted me. He reassured me that I've got this, and that's a capital I, letting me know that God's got this all under his sovereign control. Now, this is a discipline. It's not easy to let go and let God. But when faith is troubled, it caused me to walk it out by faith. Remember, I made the comment that a brother in Christ put it this way: faith cannot grow without risk. And in my little mind, I believed that when I totally surrendered that circumstance over to him and let it go, I believe I was taking a risk. Yes, I was, because in my natural instinct, it was for me to hold on to that situation or that circumstance with a tight fist. I don't want to let it go. I don't want to let it go. But God said, trust me and believe that I've got it. And when I totally surrendered, my focus was on him. I started to believe by faith and started walking my faith out. So each day concerning that circumstance got a little lighter, a little lighter, and a little more lighter for me. It was not a heavy weight on my shoulders. And I know some of you who are listening to the broadcast can totally relate to situations that may have come across your life from time to time. Some may be listening today and in the midst of a circumstance that requires you to walk it out. And we're going to look at in Scripture how Peter walked things out. Now, before we move to Matthew 14, I want us to look at Hebrews chapter 11, and let's start in verse 1. So now, I'm reading this in the King James translation version, and it reads this way: now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, I'm going to go back up to verse 1 and reread that. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I'm going to read verse 4. Now here is the hall of faith and how so many had to believe by faith, trust God just as I did. And I'm sure you're having to go through this or deal with this as well. Now, if you're a brother or sister in Christ, you know that when faith is troubled, again, these are growth spurts within the body of Christ. Growth spurts. So we have to have growth within our faith so that we could move from a certain measure of faith to a greater faith that you can encourage others along the way. So now let's look at verse 4 in Hebrews 11. So follow along with me. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. Now, we know the story, and if you don't, read it in the book of Genesis. And go back and read that, and how by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And so, verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God. Now think about that. When we please God, we believe by faith. When I decided to surrender, relinquish, let it go, and let God, he was pleased with me. When we give God total control of that circumstance, regardless of how painful it is, regardless of how fearful you may be, regardless of how much it may hurt you, impact your thoughts, please God when we trust him by faith. Now let's read verse 6 in Hebrews 11. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Talking about God. Let me reread that. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently, diligently seek him. With all diligence, seeking him. Now, for those who are taking notes and following with me in this lesson, when faith is troubled, I encourage you to take down these 3 points of power. Point one being Peter walks. So if you could write that down on your paper as point one, Peter walks. And underneath that, walk it out. Point two to this teaching series, when faith is troubled, Peter's measurement of faith. Peter's measurement of faith. And underneath that, work it out. And the third point to this teaching series, when faith is troubled, is Peter's focus. Peter's focus. And that, underneath that, seek it out. For my note takers, I encourage you to hang with me through this teaching series when faith is troubled. Now we understood, now faith in verse 1 is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now my hope is in Christ Jesus, My faith is placed in God's hands. My sight is to stay focused and seek Him diligently, that the reward of my discipline would be pleasing unto me. Now, whatever the reward is that God wills, He knows what's best in every circumstance that we experience. Again, when faith is troubled, and also remember, faith cannot grow without risk. So for us to stay faithful, now faith, remain faithful, we have to have a little troubled waters from time to time cross our path. So, as it states in verse 6 in Hebrews 11, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. You got to believe that God is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now listen to verse 7 as we move on down, Hebrews 11. Follow with me in verse 7. By faith, Noah. Now, this particular passage in Hebrew is just calling the row, or the role of the hall of faith, as some call this particular passage or these passages in Hebrews 11. So by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Think about your circumstance. You don't see what the end is going to be yet. You may be entering into a circumstance, beginning a situation that is just not well with you, or you may be in the midst of a situation, staying faithful that God is going to pull you through. But God knows what the end is going to be. So according to verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark. Underline moved with fear. That's important. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And I asked you to underline moved with fear because in our human nature, we are moved with fear in circumstances. That was one of my concerns. That was one of the reasons why I struggled letting this circumstance or situation go, meaning let it go or held my hands open so that God can take care of this situation, this circumstance. So it brings us to a fear-like, to where we cleave very closely to God. We run to Him. We hold tight to Him. So we have, or we experience this childlike fear to where we run toward Him and not away from Him. Talking about God the Father, this is what Noah experienced when he heard from God, when he was told by God what to do, being warned of God of the things not as yet seen, not seen as yet. But Noah, I can just imagine, just as myself, feared. But in his fear, he was obedient. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. Talk about God. And became heir of the righteousness which is by faith, because of Noah's faith. Him and his family were saved from the flood of the earth. Now, he did not know what the end was going to be, but out of his fear and trembling, God the Father, the Creator, Yahweh God, he prepared an ark. Now, you know people talked about him. You know they called him a lunatic. They probably called him crazy. I'm sure they did. They laughed at him. They mocked him. But we may get that from time to time, too. Because when we are following what God says and totally placing our trust and walking it out in this circumstance, there are those who may not understand how God works, who may not understand faith as to what it is. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and so certain ones may have a tendency to talk about you, say you're crazy for not doing anything about this situation, saying that I can't believe you're just allowing this to happen this way. Same thing they did with Noah. But out of obedience, he followed God's command. He built the ark, and God condemned the world at that time because of the way they were living. Sin-sick, wicked world at the time, and God flooded the whole earth. Now, verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. Abraham, he was called by God to just go. Come out of your comfortable environment from around your family and those that you grew up with in a particular city for your whole life. And he was called to go out into a place that he was unfamiliar. And when he followed or obeyed God's command, he went out, not knowing where he was going. And he followed, trusted, by faith, he went. And by obedience, he went. He walked it out, and he trusted God. And by faith, verse 9, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Now, God knew what the end was going to be with Abraham. He knew, but Abraham, out of obedience and out of faith, he went and he received promise, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 11, through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithfully who had promised. Now, when we believe by faith what God has commanded us to do out of obedience, you can trust that what God said he's going to do, he will do it. You can take it to the bank. But even when we don't know what the end is going to be, through our faith and obedience and trusting, letting go and letting God, the end always beneficial to us. Scripture tells us that God is working all of this out for our good, for it's all being worked together for our good. We may not see what the end is going to be, but as we hold on to God's unchanging hand, just as Abraham did, just as Sarah did, just as Enoch did, just as so many others in the hall of faith, Noah, the end was always well with their soul because God promised as he did. Verse 12, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Now this was what God promised Abraham. Just go, walk, promised him a son, promised him descendants as many as the stars in the sky and the sand along the seashore. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Did you catch that? These all died in faith. They fell asleep in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. So Abraham did not live to see all of his descendants, as many as the stars in the sky and the sand, the grains of sand by the seashore. But he knew by faith that what God said, it is so. Verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tired, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. God offered, gave us Jesus. Verse 18, of him it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both of his sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. And here again, by faith, verse 22, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, when he was come to years, talking about Moses, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, we're still talking about faith. Remember, faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now let's stop here, and I encourage you to continue to read this rich chapter in Hebrews 11 from beginning to end, and just look at how God called certain ones. Their faith was in place. They walked it out. And the promises, they may not have seen over their time, but they banked on with what God had promised. Now let's move over to Matthew chapter 14, and let's look at our first point. Peter walks. Now, for the benefit of the lesson title, When Faith is Troubled, we're going to read Matthew 14, and we're going to start in verse 22 and read through 33. And focusing on our first point today, Peter walks, and underneath that I indicated to write, walk it out. As we saw in Hebrew 11, these first few verses, 1 through, I believe we went through 1 through 25, I encourage you to continue to read through all of those particular verses so that you can see the impact of how having faith and walking that faith out in the midst of trouble, in the midst of a circumstance, in the midst of not knowing or understanding what the end is going to be. So now let's look at Matthew 14. And reading verse 22. And it reads this way. And immediately, now this is the miracle of walking on the water. And immediately he compelled the disciples to step into the boat and to go before him to the other side, while he sent the crowds away. And after he sent the crowds away, he went up to the mountain privately to pray, talking about Jesus. And when night fell, he was there alone. So now, think about the picture here. Jesus, what did he do? He compelled the disciples to step into the boat and to go before him. He stayed on land. Jesus stayed on land, and he went, he sent the crowds away, and he went to a mountain privately, alone, to pray to the Father. And when night fell, he was there alone, in verse 23. Verse 24, now the boat was already in the midst of the sea, being battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now think about this picture. Jesus is on land, went up to the mountain privately to pray, and the disciples were in a boat. And the boat was already in the midst of the sea. So according to my commentaries that I read, it was approximately 600 feet out away from the land. And when they were in the boat, as we read in 24, being battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary, stirred up the water, throwing the boat or rocking the boat radically. And I can just imagine the disciples in the boat. They probably thought that they were going to die or they were going to drown. And where is Jesus? Now, don't we think like that from time to time when we're in the midst of a circumstance, when we're in the midst of a situation, and we don't know what the outcome is going to be? We don't know what's going to happen. What do? We start to fret. We start to worry. Why? Because the waves of life start coming down upon us, smothering us, causing us to go left and go right, causing us to wring our hands as if there's no hope. It gets our minds totally discombobulated. We start worrying. We start stressing. We start hyperventilating, panic attacks, and we start trying to do things in our own effort to try to fix the problem. I can just imagine those disciples in the boat when the waters were raging and the winds were tossing the boat, and they're surrounded by nothing but water. Verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night. The fourth watch of the night was usually 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. in the midst of the dark, the dark, darkest time of the morning, 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., the fourth watch of the night. He came to them. So after Jesus had finished praying up to the mountain, when he was in at the top of the mountain or within the mountain, he came to them walking on the sea. Now, think about this. Think about this. Jesus was away from them physically. They could not see Jesus with their naked eye. They have been with him throughout his ministry. They walked with him. They ate with him. They slept with him. They talked with him, and he taught them. And they get into a situation where they totally believe he's no longer around. Where did he go? Now, isn't that you? Isn't that me? As I expressed my story in the beginning of this lesson, how we can muddle around or run around like a chicken with our head cut off, wondering, where is God? Where is he? in my situation? Why isn't he doing something? Why aren't things working out right now? Right now. And we get angry and we start losing our focus because we don't know what to do. And isn't that just like the enemy, our adversary, to cause us to focus on the circumstance? He does not want us to focus on God. He doesn't want us to see what the Word of God tells us. He does not want us to speak or pray the Word back to God with promise. He does not want us to walk by faith. He wants us to walk by sight. And so when he entertains these thoughts in our mind, it causes us to go from the left to the right when we should stand firm and faithful and obedient to what God's word promises us. Remember the hall of faith in Hebrews 11. It was by faith, Moses. It was by faith, Sarah. It was by faith, the harlot Rahab, perished not when they, with them that believed not, when she received the spies with peace. It was by faith that they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. It was by faith. And the enemy, Satan himself, does not want us to exercise our faith. He tells us to give up on God. He tells us these lies that God is not with you. He left you alone. He's not concerned about your problem. These are the lies that Satan conjures up in our mind that causes us to continue to operate without faith. We read that in Hebrew. When we don't have the faith that we need, what happens? We don't please God. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And our adversary does not want us to believe that God can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could think or ask or imagine. God the Creator, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him with all of our strength. We seek him. So let's look at the scriptures again as far as them being in the boat, Jesus now walking on the water, and in verse 26, and the disciples, seeing him walking on the sea, were startled, saying, "Is this a ghost?" And they cried out for fear. Now, just as I indicated, the adversary can cause our minds to play tricks on us. Just as the disciples demonstrated, they were startled, asking, "Is this a ghost? Is this for real? No, this can't be." And they cried out for fear in verse 26. Now, keep in mind, when you're going through a storm, just as these disciples were in a boat in the midst of a storm, the boat is being battered by the waves and the wind is contrary. It's just radically blowing the boat from side to side. Now, that could be your life right now. And I just encourage you who may be listening to this broadcast and who are following along and who can relate to these circumstances or these passages, who can relate to the disciples, who can relate to what is in your life happening right now, uncertain about what's going to happen. You might be uncertain about your salvation. You may wonder if you are eternal and not going to hell. You want to go to heaven. You may be uncertain about that. You may be struggling about that. You may wonder about that. You might not know really if you are going to heaven. I encourage you and my brothers and sisters who are listening to the broadcast, if you would pray with me right now, and let's just rectify this so that the adversary will not have you thinking that you are going to hell, that you too can be in the ark of salvation, just as Noah and his family were. So if we would stop, drop, and pray right now, a prayer of salvation, for those of you who are listening, I encourage you, if you do not know you're saved, you want to be saved, or even if your salvation is a little shaky and you're not even certain, you've been living a backslidden life, or you've been carnal-minded concerning your Christian walk, I encourage you to fall on your knees or bow your head and humble your heart before a loving God and repeat after me. But now it's the words of me, but it's your heart that God sees. And I encourage you to trust him by faith, and that you believe by faith that you are saved by his amazing grace. So, brothers and sisters, if you know someone that you have been praying for, lift them up right now in prayer, that they would receive or surrender their life to Jesus Christ, that they would yield the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to live strong within inside them, that they would not quench the Holy Spirit or grieve the Holy Spirit, that they would hunger and thirst. Now I'm talking about carnal-minded brothers and sisters in Christ, or those who are living a backslidden life. But for those of you who do not know him in the pardoning of your sin, this is the day that God has created for you to receive his hand, just as you will see Peter in these passages as we continue to read. But let's take care of first things first, and that is salvation. So if you would pray with me and repeat after me, your heart, my words, as we come humbly before the throne of grace. Lord God, my Father, you are my all in all. I hunger for you. I need a Savior. You promised that if I believe by faith that Jesus died on that cross for me, his blood covered my sin, that I would be saved. If I would confess with my mouth, Lord, that I am a sinner, and I know that I am. I know that I cannot save myself. I need a Savior. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus is my Savior. I surrender my life to you, Lord, today. Please take residence of my heart, that I will no longer crave the desire of my flesh, of my life, that old life that I was living. Change me now, Lord. Purify me. Allow the Holy Spirit to enter in, that when I get up, I will be a new creature. Old things have passed away, and I grab hold of the new. I love you, Lord Jesus. I need you, and I trust you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, amen, brothers and sisters, for those of you who have accepted Jesus Christ, welcome, welcome. And I encourage you to grab a hold or seek out a Bible teaching church that will disciple you, that you would be baptized by submersion of water. And when you get up, you hold your hands up and shout, I am a Christ follower. I am a new believer in Christ Jesus. I am saved. I am going to heaven. And you seek out a small group Bible study that you would grow and go in grace, or a Sunday school class that will shape and mold your faith, and that you would someday, one day, tell your family or encourage someone in your family to become a believer in Christ Jesus. Welcome to the body of Christ. And I tell you, the angels are rejoicing because somebody today has given their life to Christ. And we are so happy about that right now. So God bless you. And thank you, brothers and sisters, for lifting up that person that the Lord has laid on your heart to intercede for. Continue to pray them to the Lord and allow the watering of God to saturate their heart, that they will no longer reject God, but that they will receive God's ways and continue to want to work out their soul salvation. So hallelujah and praise the Lord. So let's look at how Jesus had indicated to Peter in verse 27. It says, but immediately Jesus talked to them, saying, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, talking about Jesus. And he said, come. And Peter, coming down from the boat, walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Now, we're going to rest right here. Now, if you notice in verse 29, Jesus said, come. And this is the invitation of Jesus to salvation, as he extends his hand to us to come. And I love the way it reads in Revelation 22. So if you would move over or document Revelation 22, verse 17. And it reads this way, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. There's that word, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who is thirsty come. Let him who will take the water of life freely. The water of life freely. But it's telling us to come unto him. So if your burdens are heavy, he will make them light. And all he tells us to do is come. He told Peter, come. And Peter, coming down from the boat, walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Now, our first point was Peter walks. And we saw that in verse 28 and 29. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter, coming down from the boat on the water, and came toward Jesus. Now, this is Peter walking out his faith. He had enough trust, and the amount of faith that he had, to believe that if this is Jesus, then command me to come. Now, God says for us to come to him. And he says this in John 3:16. And it's a very, very familiar passage for most of us who are familiar with God's word, and we read and study John 3:16 or the Gospel of John, and we've heard this passage sang in songs. We may have sang it ourselves. And verse 13 reads this way, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved us so much that he gave. He gave his Son. And as Jesus extends his hand to Peter, as he's standing there on the water, he tells us to come. So even in the midst of the waves, even in the midst of the rain, even in the midst of the boat being jolted from left to right, they're all trembling in fear in their circumstance and situation. And even when the mind tries to play tricks on you, Jesus is there right by our side, telling us to hold on to my unchanging hand. Walk this out. I will bring you through, but you got to trust me. You've got to have now faith. And as Peter seems to be demonstrating this type of faith, he said, if it's you, Lord, then tell me to come forth. And Jesus said, come. So this is the invitation. As we prayed a prayer of salvation for those who may not know Jesus Christ in the pardoning of their sins, and then for those who are of the body of Christ, we are to come and trust him. This is Jesus' faith on the move. When he was praying in a mountain, independent from the disciples, while the storms were raging and the waters were flowing and the rain was coming and the boat being jolted from left to right, they saw faith on the water. They thought he was a ghost. It didn't look right to them. They could see, but the rain in their eyes caused it to look a little blurry. So Peter cried out, "If it's you, Lord, command me to come." So Jesus is where we put our faith in. It's who we put our faith in. We see Jesus walking on the water. That's faith on the move. He went from land and he came as he walked on the water, talking about Jesus. And now we see the Lord's hand extended, telling Peter to come unto me. That same hand is the hand of today for those of us who are in the midst of a storm, for those of us who are leading or going into a storm. We may not know what the job is going to do today. We may not know what the job is going to do tomorrow. We may not know if we're going to get a pink slip or if we're going to get a white slip that says remain, or if it says your time has ended here. We don't know if our finances are going to be in the right denomination as far as money is concerned. We don't know if we're going to have a $100,000 or if we're going to have $100. We don't know what our finances are going to look like. All we know is that we've got to trust Jesus Christ. We don't know how our family is going to end up. We know that we've lost a child. It hurts, and I don't know anything else but to trust God in this. We know that a child may be wayward and may not be living a lifestyle that is pleasing unto God. We know that our marriage is a little rocky. The husband may not be living out a Christ-like life. The wife may be running the streets. The marriage is on the rocks right now. We don't know, but God knows. And just as Peter, in the midst of this storm with the other disciples, Peter, he exercised a bit of faith by saying, "If it is you, Lord, command me to come." And that's the same command for us. Lord God, I come unto thee because I believe by faith, according to your word, that you can do exceedingly abundantly above all I could think or imagine. And I cast all my cares on you. This is our prayer when we're in the midst of a circumstance. So, brothers and sisters, I encourage you to walk it out, work it out, and seek it out. Now, this takes care of point one on today. Looking at verses 28 and 29, we will pick back up with the continuance of this passage in the other verses, showing how Peter's measurement of faith is there and showing how Peter's focus is there in this passage. So I thank you for being a faithful listener to this broadcast. But always remember that the grass withers, and always remember that the flowers fadeth away. But one thing we can bank on and one thing we can believe and trust in is that the word of God will remain forever and ever and ever. God bless you, and thank you for being faithful to this broadcast, but faithful to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.